The Raptors Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, William Liu. I am joined by producer and co-host, Alex Wong. Alex, first off, big thanks to you and also friend of the program, Faisal Kamisa, for holding it down on Thursday's episode while I was away in Northern Ontario. But I am back because I took the early bus to come back to the city. And we are going to talk about the Raptors. Has anything happened with the Toronto Raptors of late?
Yeah, absolutely not. So let's move on to the Philadelphia 76ers
season. Let's do it.
Ending yesterday, because one of the things we need to do in the offseason is make sure we cover the NBA playoffs.
That's right. That's right.
In depth.
That's what we're doing this for. Not because we're petty.
Not because the Raptors
got beaten by the Sixers. Not because that was a bitterly fought series.
Yeah.
Filled with a lot of vitriolic storylines. No, we're just covering the NBA. That's our job.
No, we have to talk about what's in front of us.
Mm.
And what's in front of us is the Philadelphia 76ers failing to make the conference finals again. I was actually rooting for the Sixers last night because I'm sure you saw that the NBA announced that they're handing out new awards now. So there's going to be conference finals MVPs.
Yes.
I was thinking maybe that's an MVP that Joel Embiid could have gotten.
Oh.
And unfortunately, he's going to have to make the conference finals first to be able to compete for that and then complain when Tyrese Maxey wins it.
Yeah. So, by the way, on that point of the conference finals, we've seen a lot of tweets flying around about this. But just in case you missed it, we're here to inform you.
Yes.
That the Philadelphia 76ers have not made the conference finals, which means to have won two rounds, since 2001.
That's
which
right.
Was against the Raptors.
It was Vince Carter's graduation day.
Right?
Yep.
The Kings have made it to the conference finals more recently than the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, that's right. 2002, when the Kings had an epic seven-game Western Conference Finals, Lakers-Kings.
Mm. That's a real series where you should be complaining about foul calls.
Oh, yeah. Check game six. Shouts to Tim Donaghy. But yeah, they haven't made the conference finals since you immigrated here.
No, that's not true.
Right?
I was here in 2001.
Oh, okay. I keep getting the dates wrong. Yeah. I keep thinking you've only been in Canada for 3 years.
But, you know, I was like 8 years old, and I don't think I knew what basketball was outside of maybe gym class. So, in any case, wow. Tough time for the Sixers. A lot of things happen. A lot of great quotes after the game.
Yeah, a lot of great quotes. So, we have a few of these here. So, Jimmy Butler, I thought it was cool because yesterday, Faisal and I were talking about the third anniversary of the shot.
Yes.
And the Sixers were eliminated again yesterday on that anniversary. And they were eliminated by Jimmy Butler.
Mm.
The one player who, I think if you go through this process era, this last decade, if you were to point to like one move that the Sixers, you know, did wrong, and honestly, there's a lot. I think letting Jimmy Butler go and re-signing Tobias Harris and signing Al Horford in free agency that summer, basically making those choices over Jimmy Butler is the biggest mistake that they've made.
And quite honestly, like, I thought you were going to say it's one of the most, like, fortuitous things. Well, just the straight up one of the best things that they did, right? Because, like, you remember the trade package for Jimmy Butler wasn't, like, some sort of superstar-laden deal.
Right, like, it was like picks, a Robert Covington.
Covington, Saric, picks. Like, whatever, right?
That was
like,
a great trade for them.
Yes, and they fully could have re-signed him. They apparently had the intention to re-sign him. He played well against the Raptors in that series. Through the first six games, Jimmy Butler had averaged 25.6 points per game, 47% from the field, getting to the free throw line eight times a game, shooting 92% from the free throw line, had 8.4 rebounds per game, 6.6 assists per game. And of course, you know, with Jimmy Butler, his defense is always going to be elite, right?
Yeah, so three years ago.
Even in game seven, by the way,
he
was the one who raced down the other way
to tie the game
at 90-90, which set the stage for Kawhi to actually take the shot. That game the Raptors should have had wrapped up. I think Pascal missed a free throw.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jimmy was the one who was opportunistic and actually took that big shot in a big moment, unlike certain Sixers star wings these days.
Well, here's the thing. Like 3 years ago in that series, we saw that Jimmy Butler had a way bigger impact than Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons was really upset that he was being placed in the dunker spot, that he wasn't getting involved in the offense. And then 3 years later, Jimmy Butler goes on Philly's home floor, and you compare his performance, not just last night, but overall in this series, versus James Harden, the guy that the Sixers have brought in to be the number two. And then, you know, even more cutting after the game, you know, Joel Embiid talked about, you know, I still don't know why we let Jimmy go.
Mm.
And Jimmy in his post-game interview said, you know, I wish I was here.
Damn.
Like, I've moved on, but I wish I was here. So like all sides, you know, there are some regrets in this, but I guess not with the Philly front office. So here's Jimmy Butler walking to the locker room after the win. Here's what he said.
Tobias Harris over me?
I mean,
yeah. Listen.
It was Tobias Harris, Al Horford, I think.
Tobias Harris over me?
Jimmy Butler wasn't getting along with Brett Brown as well. And they were afraid that they re-signed Jimmy, that it was going to cut into what Ben Simmons was going to do on the team. Ultimately, these were just all poor decisions.
Over me?
Man, you could have said that for a lot of people over me with Jimmy Butler. Like, he could have named 5-6 people. Look. At that time, what was Ben Simmons' second year?
Probably second or third year.
Yeah. He had made all NBA, was a really good defensive player. Like, you know, I could see why ultimately they chose him.
But sure.
Tobias Harris, though?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, even if you break it down to just...
And you're going
to
use that cap space on Al Horford?
Yeah, giving Al Horford all that money.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And even that decision alone, if you strip out Ben Simmons or Brett Brown, mm-hmm. Like, that's just tough. And it was also pointed out that since the Sixers started this rebuilding era,
yeah.
Like, the before they rebuilt, they lost in that second round to the Boston Celtics in 2013-14.
Yes.
The Uncut Gems, series.
Yep.
And they have not gone further than that since.
Yeah, I had really wanted the Raptors, obviously, to beat the Sixers so that we could still be on air 2 hours a day on TV and all this other stuff.
Yeah, like, speak for
just
yourself.
Just working nonstop,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, speak for yourself.
As the Raptors would advance through the second round here or whatever. But part of the reason I really wanted that to happen was there was going to be a delicious bit of like a full circle moment in sports where Thad Young was he was one of the victims of the process. Like, the process came in, the Sixers decided this team with Drew Holiday, Andre Iguodala, Thad Young, who else? Evan Turner, some other players. Like, honestly, a decent team. Like, but just not good enough to contend, whatever. They weren't good enough to contend, so they were going to ship off all of their pieces. So, you know, Drew went out the door, Andre went out the door, all this other stuff. Thad was, like, the last one to leave. Like, Thad had to play on some of those process teams. And so if the Raptors had actually beaten them with Thad Young, I thought that would have been a really nice full circle moment. We end up getting the full circle moment anyway. With Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, it always comes full circle for the Sixers every postseason.
They just have a lot of enemies.
I'm just remembering, too, now. You know who was the coach on the other side in 2013-14 for the Boston Celtics?
Wait, who?
Doc Rivers.
Oh, that's great!
Because Doc Rivers has a cameo in Uncut Gems as well.
Yes.
Giving a halftime locker room speech.
Damn.
So, there you go. There's all your full circles.
Okay.
And just like last season, when Joel Embiid and Doc Rivers basically ended Ben Simmons' tenure,
yes.
In Philadelphia with their post-game comments. Lots of delicious post-game comments from Philly last night. Here's Doc Rivers when he was asked about his job security.
Have you thought about job security?
I don't worry about my job, Howard. I think I do a terrific job, and if you don't, then you should write it. Because I worked my butt off to get this team here. When I first got here, no one picked us to be anywhere. Mm. And again this year, the same thing. So if that's how anyone feels, write it. And I'm going to feel secure about it.
Not a doctor.
I'm pretty sure people did pick the Sixers, especially after they traded for James Harden as a favorite in the East. There were expectations coming in. There's always expectations when you have an MVP candidate like Joel Embiid.
Do you think people picked the Sixers to beat the Hawks?
Last season?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
They were the number one seed in the East.
Yeah.
They were the number one seed.
I just, you know what, honestly, like, I think he's not pressed because he knows that if he gets let go, the Lakers will probably hire him.
Yeah, he might be the Lakers coach by Monday.
Because, like, look, if he gets let go, I think he's going to collect two salaries.
Right.
So he's like, yo, what?
Oh, okay. So actually respects the doc.
You should write that. They should fire me. And they should follow that advice. They should pay me my full salary. And then I'll go to the Lakers and get a second salary. So... I actually don't think it's that much on Doc, quite frankly.
It's not. The roster
sucks.
The roster is just not good.
It doesn't suck in the sense that, like, they don't have good players. That's not it at all. Like, their top four, as I've come on here and talked about, is fantastic. Danny Green has been great in these playoffs. And get well soon to Danny Green.
Yes.
What a horrible injury to happen to him.
Yes.
You know, I know a lot of people mentioned the Embiid falling point on Danny Green. I don't think there's any way Embiid thought that he wanted to do that. However, you know, it's just really unfortunate and really get well soon for Danny Green, a perpetual winner. Like, literally, this is going to be the first team since he was like a rookie in Cleveland, where Danny Green's going to be on that team, and that team has not won a championship. You understand? That's like going back a decade. Did it with the Spurs, did it with the Raptors, did it with the Lakers.
As well, yeah.
He's a perpetual winner, right? And he played really well in these playoffs. Like, how many times have we come on here and we're like, Danny Green hits 5 threes on us?
Yeah. Right?
So that part of the roster is good. The rest of the roster is so bad.
Mm-hmm.
It is just terrible. And that's probably why that, you know, as the playoffs kept going deeper and deeper, when you do suffer a few injuries along the way, obviously we saw Embiid getting knocked out for a little bit there. You're going to have to rely on your depth. And that's the main issue with the team. It wasn't actually necessarily Doc. I thought Doc, I mean, look, he could probably, you know, not be so shameless with some of the quotes, but listen, that's what it is. Like, that's the job of a coach. You know, you're there to like politic, right? But the job of the general manager and what Daryl Morey has done with that club, like, he owes Joel Embiid an apology, because you just wasted an MVP caliber year from him doing absolutely nothing, bringing guys off the bench that really wouldn't even make most teams.
Yeah, no more talk about Matisse Thybul, please.
Yeah.
Like, just
well, by
in
the
general.
Way, Matisse Thybul, the exact kind of player the Raptors will probably sign on the reclamation project. No, that's a Rodney Hollis Jefferson / Stanley Johnson style, Pat McCaw style of signing. I'm just telling you right now. He fits the profile.
No more.
Offense, lots of defense, not particularly valued in his current position.
No, that's Tampa. That's the Tampa Raptors profile. This is not Division 6-9, please. Yeah. Please. But yeah, like you mentioned the roster, I think the biggest thing too, you know, James Harden last night, 0 for 2 in the second half, only took 2 field goal attempts.
And one of them was like later in the fourth quarter, the game was pretty much
over. Game was
and he kind of had to just chuck it up.
Yeah, and he said after the game that he was just running the offense and the ball never got back to him, is what he said.
He's dribbling almost every other play.
Just do the split screen between Jimmy Butler in this series and James Harden in this series. And, you know, here's what Joel Embiid said after the game when he was asked about James Harden.
I mean, I don't know. I think he's been, I'm sure, you know, since we got him, everybody expected the Houston James Harden. But that's not who he is anymore. He's more of a playmaker. I thought, you know, yeah, at times, you know, could have been as all of us could have been more aggressive, all of us.
Yeah, and you know, I think Joel was couching that comment a little at the end, maybe because he realized what happened last year, what he said about Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
But yes. So
I don't know.
Here's the big thing is they've got this big decision to make because James Harden forgot to opt into his contract after he got traded.
That's hilarious. He just forgot.
Let's be clear. If I never opt into my contract, it's not going to be an accident.
Okay. Well, is your mom your agent?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Anyway, keep going.
So they've got this big decision to make, and it's very clear. And Harden talked a little bit about it last night, talking about how, you know, he really wants to finally get in shape this summer and that, you know, he's willing to do whatever it takes to be part of this team going forward.
What kind of New Year's resolution is this?
So he's about 3 years too late. But like,
yeah, bro, he's 32. He's like, I want to finally get in shape. Come on, man.
So
if you're not in shape by your 30s, it's you know.
But that's
it's
a big
be a long, it's
that's
a long climb.
That's a big decision, right? They got rid of a Ben Simmons problem, and now they have a James Harden problem. And listen, James Harden is still a really effective player, but this roster was built for him to be a second star on this team, not to be, you know, a $200 million playmaker.
Yeah, but he's going to be. Because, like, this is Daryl Morey's guy. Like, this is on Daryl Morey.
I will respect Daryl if he walks away from this. I know they're not going to be able to do anything.
Not only is James Harden, I was listening to another podcast, The Hoop Collective, and, you know, Tim Bontemps describes a story where, you know, Daryl Morey's at the Sloan Conference. And he's wearing a T-shirt with James Harden's face on it. And he called him basketball. This is my basketball Jesus. Daryl Morey saying this out loud.
He needs a new religion then. What can I say?
He's got to become an atheist point. No, but
he's
seriously.
He's got to walk away from this.
That's his whole career. Like, that's his whole career. That's his, like, James Harden is Daryl Morey's whole career.
Okay.
So he cannot walk from this.
If you teleport him aside.
Might as well fire him if you don't want that to happen.
They might. If you teleported Masai and Bobby into that situation and they made this trade and they've seen this play out, what do you think they would do?
First off, Masai and Bobby would not be trading away a 6'9 athlete.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Second of all,
the hypothetical is over.
I honestly don't know, but I know they can do a better job of building the back end of that bench because that bench is terrible. when we're looking at the Raptors, and the Raptors were like, man, I know all season our bench has struggled, but in this Sixers series, our bench looks pretty good.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, so it's on Daryl Morey more than anything else. And that's the funny thing, because you'll see James Harden catch all this flack. You're going to see Doc Rivers catch all this flack. And listen, I'm not – even Joel Embiid's going to catch some flack, because what did he shoot, like 30% maybe yesterday? Mm-hmm. Whatever.
I don't know. I think
– yeah, I know, man. I was watching that game. There's a lot of missing and falling on the ground, but and not contesting rebounds. But, like, somehow Daryl Morey's going to escape from this. And it's 100% on him.
I don't think he will. All eyes are going to be – all eyes are going to be on him.
I hope so.
R.I.P. Tupac.
I hope so.
Let's do a couple more playoff items, and then we'll take an early break because we've got an Asian Heritage Month draft coming up.
That's right.
With CCYA co-founder Clement Chu, also going to talk to him about some of the things that he's done, you know, in the community and in collaboration with the Raptors over the years. Boston Celtics facing elimination tonight. You know, here's my dream weekend. Okay, my weekend started yesterday.
Oh yeah,
because Thursday is a new Friday.
Love and the dream segment.
Yeah,
on the show,
so yeah. Sixers got eliminated yesterday. Mm. I want Giannis to put up a 50 burger tonight.
Okay,
against the Boston Celtics, and I can never have to hear the broadcast tell me what kind of generational defensive talent Grant Williams is. Is all I've been hearing all series, and they always pan over at the end of the games, and I see Grant Williams sitting on the bench just staring into space after Jrue Holiday stole a game.
Grant Williams is a good player. He's a solid player, 3-and-D, obviously has some size, can switch a little bit. He is also one scene card away from being Patrick Patterson, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
No, but that's my dream. So the Celtics get eliminated tonight because I have been pushing the fact that, you know, I don't want to hear this best team in the league since January 1st. That's not banner worthy.
I picked Celtics in seven, so I guess I'm still rooting for that outcome for myself to be right.
Oh, right. But you have to separate that.
But my God, they choked game five. Yeah. Like, wow.
You know what? I don't want to use that term because I want to give the Bucks full credit.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
I want to give the Bucks full credit.
Game five,
you want to talk about never underestimate the heart of a champion? Like, at every point in that second half, I was like, this game's done. They don't have enough to come back.
Yeah.
They're trailing by 8 to 10 points. They're
the
trailing.
Whole time. Yeah, the whole time.
I'm like, they just don't have enough. They don't have enough shooters. Jrue is doing too much on offense. They're asking him to do too much. For the first time, I'm like, in the series, I'm like, oh, they really miss Chris Middleton right now because they don't have a guy that can get them buckets. Mm. And then for everything, like from Giannis to Bobby Portis getting that offensive rebound and the putback. Everybody's seen
Shout out to Pat Connaughton, too, for the not bringing the ball down 3-point shot. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes.
The pass goes really high.
He catches it, like, on his head.
And then
like
he just
above
shoots.
His head,
no
he shoots
load,
it.
Nothing.
That's why practice makes perfect. Because he must practice that all the time.
That's how you shoot, too.
Oh, okay. Right. We don't need to involve myself. So I want the Bucks to take care of business tonight.
Okay, yeah.
And then
quite
I want
possible.
And then I want the Toronto Maple Leafs to advance to the second round for the first time since 2004 tomorrow night.
Yeah, tough one.
Go Leafs, go. I still feel good. You know, I've watched a lot of hockey this past week. I consider myself an expert now.
Yeah.
They thoroughly outplayed Tampa last night. But sometimes hockey is cruel like that. You know, you can outplay your opponent and not get the win. I know there's a lot of baggage on this Leafs team. Mm-hmm. But I've only really been tuning in for the past week, and I feel great about them.
Yeah, me too, actually.
I still feel really good about them, man. Yeah.
All your star players are playing pretty well. Salute to Jason Spezza. Not a star player, but, you know. Right.
Shout out to Ali Khan.
Last time I watched hockey.
Ali Khan was at Emily Arena yesterday.
Why?
So unfortunately couldn't because the Jays are in Tampa.
Oh,
and they had an off day.
Oh, right.
So
right,
it worked
right.
out.
How much do you think playoff tickets are in Tampa?
$20.
Yeah.
No. Actually, they're back to back Stanley Cup champions. So I think there's actually a bit of buzz.
Okay, fine. $25.
There's a bit of buzz.
$25.
Yeah. Mr. Rogers, whoever runs the Rogers suite, just invite me and Will tomorrow.
No,
we're playing poker.
For sure.
We're busy, actually.
Oh, okay.
So you're telling me you got
tickets to go see Game 7.
Game 7 or playing
at Scotiabank Arena.
A 1-2 cash game in poker. That's tough.
We could do both, man.
Oh, yeah. Can we just, you know, yeah. We'll just go in the second period.
I've already proven that
we'll play
poker is a
first.
Multitasking task.
And any other thoughts in the Western Conference? The Suns and the Mavericks are going to Game 7. The home team has won every game in this series. Lots of blowouts in this series. And the Golden State Warriors, I don't know what the final score was, but they were down by like 50-plus points.
They were down by 55 at one point.
In Memphis.
Yeah.
Remind me, I don't know if you remember this, but they remind me a lot of that 04 Pistons team that beat the Lakers and won the championship.
Okay, you got to explain. Yeah,
and then afterwards, they would always make the conference finals. They made the finals again the following year, I believe, and lost to the Spurs. And it was always like, you know, those Pistons teams always got credit because they won that championship. And it was like, oh, they've got the championship experience. Mm-hmm. Very similar to the Warriors, in my opinion, because they won all those championships. And people are like, they still got that championship DNA. They still have Steph. They still have Klay. They still have Draymond. Draymond's had some really bad games in this series.
Yep.
Klay just, you know, it's not the same
it's
Klay.
It's really sad watching Klay.
And it's understandable, right? Like coming off all the injuries that he's had to deal with. And even Steph, I feel like, has lost, like, I don't know, what do you want to say, like 2%? Like, this is not, like,
he's still scoring 30, but, like,
it's not prime Steph, right? Like, it's not prime Steph.
I just think that, like, you should be able to attack pick and roll if Steven Adams is out there. Like, prime Steph will be cooking. I mean, I'm not even, it's not hypothetical. Like, we saw this back in OKC versus the Warriors. Like, they would run pick and roll at Steven Adams, and Steph would cook bigs who would switch onto him or play drop defense. And now I'm like, A, I see it happen a lot less. Like, probably, I know Warriors fans, like, the number one complaint is just give the ball to Steph and run a normal pick and roll. Don't just, like, hey, we're going to give it to Draymond and guys are going to cut and split and go back door and you know, like, you know, lift up top and all this other stuff, hammer action. Like, no, just run a pick and roll, please. I know that's the complaint for Warrior fans, but honestly, and also you got to give the Grizzlies a lot of credit. Like, their record without Ja is not an accident. They have a lot of good players on that team.
Yeah, I don't think they're better without Ja, but I think they play a different style without him, and I think that works for them in this series.
They're good with or without Ja, which is kind of nuts.
Yeah,
Ja is incredible. We've seen what happened in the playoffs. But, they have a lot of talent, and it's just for them. Like, you just never know. Like, I have no idea what's to expect in Game 6.
Yeah, it just...
I genuinely have no idea.
It just reminds me a lot of those Pistons teams, because they would always talk in those years after being like, oh, you know, that's a dangerous team. And they would be really arrogant as well. They wouldn't go for home court advantage like in the regular season. They'd be like, yeah, we can go into Boston, we can go into Cleveland and win. And then you started seeing these other teams in the conference just always beat them in the playoffs. Mm. And you always hear about the championship DNA. I feel like the Warriors are kind of in that spot now where like you wouldn't be shocked if the Grizzlies came back and won this series. I still think it's an uphill climb for them, obviously. But like, I don't know. I feel like everything's kind of wide open right now.
Ben Wallace versus Draymond Green, one-on-one.
Yeah.
You lock him in a gym, to 11.
As KD said the other day when Bleacher Report posted a graphic of Dennis Rodman versus Draymond one-on-one, he said, that's going to take 6 days. So Ben Wallace and Draymond is going to take 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It probably would, honestly.
Yeah. Even Suns Mavs, I'm looking forward to the game.
Luka's incredible.
Luka's incredible, man.
Top four players in the NBA, all international.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. It's amazing. And yeah, Chris Paul, man. You know, I'm having a better age 37 year than Chris Paul right now.
9.3 points, 4.5 turnovers. That is his last four games, Chris Paul.
Yeah. I think if Chris plays well, they win. They win at home. But man, Luka in a game 7, scary, man.
Yeah, it's also a little scary that there's just no floor on the production of these guys. It reminds me a little bit of Kyle, honestly. Although with Chris, I'm not even sure if there's an injury or anything. It just seems like he's struggling. Last thing before we go, shout-outs, Friday?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So we've got our usual Friday shout-outs, always starting with our producer, Derek Brandeo, Ryan Fabro, Kyle, Dan Toman, Greg Sansoni, Pat Flash, everybody else supporting us behind the scenes. Still a special shout-out to Jennifer Rolnick and producer Rob for helping us with the YouTube stream during the season. We'll be back soon. We'll let you know. And a special thanks to all the guests this week, Vivek Jacob, Oren Weisfeld, Faisal Kamisa, and of course, Clement Chu joining us. And fan shout out to Trevor and Amanda. This was via Jerome, aka Black Dragon Roll. He ran into them last week, and they told Jerome that they were huge Raptor Show fans. And reminder everyone, come to our live event on Monday if you got tickets, 7 p.m.
That's right.
Superfresh. Be there early. Got lots of prizes. I think everybody, honestly, might walk away with something.
Alex is probably rolling through with, like, let's say, 20, 30 prizes?
Yeah, at least.
There's only 100. Some odd people in there.
Yeah. Subtract the media. No media members can win. Like, if we raffle and we draw Lee Ben Osman, like, you just have to sit down. Lee Ben, just sit down. Don't even claim it.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyways. Is that it?
You're not going to shout the last thing?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
so we wanted
the most important one.
So we want to let people know, too. So there's a GoFundMe link that we're going to share on our Twitter as well for Philip Chan, who started Crimson Tees. Near the University of Toronto downtown campus in 2015. There's been, you guys can go to the GoFundMe and read about it.
It's quite graphic. Yeah, we don't even want to describe it live.
There were some personal things that happened, and he's trying to help, you know, bring the company and the business back by August 2022. So there's a GoFundMe that we'll post on our Twitter feed. He's raising money. He's got a goal of $60,000. They've actually already reached the goal. But for anybody that wants to donate, because, you know, for our live event next week, we're donating all our funds to Asian Gold Ribbon, mm-hmm. all of this stuff. Like, we always want to stay involved with the community in that way.
Absolutely.
To make sure. So everybody, if you want to look it up yourself, just look up GoFundMe, Crimson Tea, Philip Chan. You'll be able to see all the details for that. So definitely check that out. So when we come back, Asian Heritage Month draft and a quick chat with Clement Chu, co-founder of CCYA.
There we go. So I've been your host, Wolu. That's Alex Wong. You're listening to The Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Great daily gambling advice from JD, Blake, and Ailish in The Fan Morning Show's Wake and Rake. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wolu, and I continue to be joined by producer and co-host Alex Wong, and we are joined by a very special guest returning to the show, Clement Chu. What's going on, Clement? How you doing?
Hey, well, hey, Alex. How you guys doing?
Good, good, Clement. So Clement Chu, CCYA co-founder. Everybody should go to CCYA.org. Check that out, the Canadian Chinese Youth Athletic Association. Clement, obviously wanted to have you on during Asian Heritage Month.
Although, to be clear, we did not only have Clement on for Asian Heritage Month.
That's right.
We also got him on for other months.
We're not that kind of program.
It's a key distinction.
Yes, it's a key distinction.
Anyway, continue.
But especially want Clement on during Asian Heritage Month because we're going to be doing a draft later, you know, with some, you know, Raptors, you know, related draft that we're going to do. But first,
nah, we're going to keep it real with you. The Raptor content is over.
Yeah, the Raptors content is tough. This is the Raptor show in name only. This is now just two Asian guys talking. So Clement, though, I want the listeners to know, for you to tell them a little bit, because I know you've told me the story, you know, CCYA established in 1995, and very early on when the Raptors started their franchise here in Toronto, you know, you and the organization had a chance to partner with the Raptors on a lot of things. And one of them, you know, you ended up doing a Chinese broadcast of a Raptors game. And I'd love to just hear that story.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm going to so date myself with the story. Literally in 95, when we started the organization, the idea was that, hey, there's not a lot of organized places for Chinese guys to play basketball, so we should start, you know, a league that basically has some real infrastructure, like referees and proper gyms and score clocks and stuff like that. But at the same time, we knew the Raptors were coming into town, and everything we'd read in the newspapers, said they are targeting new fans, their children, and their ethnic minority, because they have not made their decision on what their sport of preference would be yet. And so we were like, perfect. That's totally us on a Venn diagram. So in 1995, you know, with no real email or anything like that, we literally just packed ourselves up. And I was a teenager, we put on a wrong size suit. We walk into the offices at Water Park Place, straight up cold call. Walk in the office and we say, hey, this is what we do. You know, is there opportunity for us to work together? And we literally got to meet Isaiah Thomas right off the bat.
Wow.
It's so crazy to think. Could you imagine you walking into the MLSE offices right now to try and pitch something like that? Like, you wouldn't even get past, like, first door security.
Mm-hmm. Right? We've tried. So we've tried, Clement. Yeah. That's actually what happened, yeah.
They have your name on a list, I think, so they're keeping you guys out. But it was nuts to think that we walked in, we did our pitch, and literally about a year later, they're like, okay, so we're going to target Chinese people. What do we do? And we're like, all right, let's do like a special where we discount tickets for a game. Because at that point at the Sky Dome, there's still a lot of capacity. So like, perfect, discounted tickets. We physically print posters and we stick them up on Pacific Mall. We create a 1-800 number. Clement, here's your desk. They will call you. You will have their, you know, they'll leave you a message. Then you fill out a fax form with their credit card information. And then we hand deliver the tickets to them. And that was sort of the process for the first ever Ethnic Heritage Night in NBA history. And I think we sold probably about 200 something tickets for the Denver Nuggets, which featured, I believe, LaPhonso Ellis as one of their premier players. So that's kind of where we started from. But from that point, we had a lot of interesting programs, such as the Raptors had a Raptors Ambassador program where they would choose different people from different communities to almost form like a borderline Globetrotters type of team that would go and visit different high schools and universities all across Ontario to run clinics and play against local teams. We had Bell Raptor Ball, which was a branded program for youth, not any different than, say, junior NBA is now. Mm-hmm. And specifically for the Chinese community, they would bring out people like John Long and Carlos Rogers to Pacific Mall. So quick shout out to Elaine Kwan, who's the first PR community relations person that we met from the Raptors, who is of Chinese descent, but she basically helped us to get a Raptor player out to Pacific Mall to start doing some of this grassroots initiatives. And I think part of it we realized quickly was it's not just about doing the programs and also some of the heritage nights, but it was really creating excitement around the sport. And that's sort of the genesis as to why we did a TV show with Fairchild Television. And eventually that morphed into a live broadcast in Cantonese of Raptor games during the Vince Carter era with Toronto Chinese Radio. And that actually became Raptors NBA TV in Chinese on Omni.
Yeah, that's so amazing, man. Like, just imagine, Will, like me and you doing a Chinese broadcast.
Yeah.
Mandarin Cantonese.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've talked about doing a whole show in Mandarin Cantonese here, but it feels like you want to keep your job, right, Will?
Just like, I don't want to keep the mystique that like my Mandarin is like quite good, which it's not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, oh, okay. So this is just personal embarrassment.
No, listen, I mean, you know, we've all been to Chinese class on the weekends. You know, I skipped a lot of those.
Yeah. No. I have those experiences too. No, it's so great to hear all those stories from you, Clement. And you mentioned Elaine Kwan, who was part of the original community relations team. And it's such a full circle thing because like Will and I have connected with Elaine recently, and she's been, you know, a huge help in organizing the live event that we're going to have next Monday. And by the way, shouts to you and CCYA. I know you guys are going to be donating some Boba Vancouver Grizzlies apparel as giveaway items.
Those are huge. We've both worn them on the show.
Yeah, so go to ccya.org/shop. I think there's still some, like, Boba Raptors and Grizzlies items there. And if you want to hear more about Clement and the CCYA story, look out for my new book, Prehistoric, coming next year, because we will be going in-depth. Clement has like a whole chapter in there about CCYA and Clement's basketball career.
Wait,
which
what?
which you'll have to just pick up the book and read about. But listen, Clement, we brought you on for the main event. This is the Asian Heritage Month draft. So we're going to do 5 rounds. As usual, on any Raptor show draft, the guest drafts first, Will draft second, producer Alex goes third. So we're drafting Asians and 5 different categories. So we're going to start with round one. Round one is anyone related to the Raptors, past or present. Clement, you have the number one pick and you're on the clock.
Awesome. So can I tell you that I completely screwed up my preparation because I thought this was purely an Asian NBA players draft. And so I went deep.
Oh.
Like, I thought a 5-round draft, I had like 15 obscure Asian players ready to go. But
give me the most obscure. Hold on. But just give us the most obscure Asian you have on that list.
He might draft it in the second round, though, so we should wait. Let's wait till we do that round.
I'll hang out. Fine.
Yeah, let's wait. So here's
Sun Yu is going to be.
Yeah, Sun Yu is in high demand. anyone related to the Raptors, past or present, round one, Clement, you have the number one pick.
Awesome. Okay, so in consideration, I looked at the old school. So I thought about Elaine Kwan. In the new school, I have like Tim Chung, who's Masai's assistant, Binky Raimondo from Open Gym, Jay Thiani from 905, Charzy from, you know, corporate communications. But I got to go with my OG, Ray Chow.
Oh, he took my pick.
Oh my God.
I was telling Will before the show, because Will's like, who are you going to pick? You got Utah Watanabe or Jeremy Lin? And I was like, no, man, I got someone else. And all right, now you go ahead, Clement. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, wow.
Ray Chow is not just the therapist on the team. This guy teaches hand-to-hand combat to street kids in Regent Park. No joke.
Damn.
And that's why he's my number one pick, because this guy is a true OG and will put you down if you give him any sort of smoke.
No, I'm gonna throw hands with you for taking Ray Chow. William Liu, you're on the clock.
I'm so happy and relieved.
Yeah, round one. Will Liu, who are you taking? Any Asian related to the Raptors, past or present?
But come on, man. Former guest of this show, Bobby Webster, the engineer of the Kawhi trade. Bobby Webster, baby. Let's go.
Okay.
I know Bobby Webster listening at home.
Yeah.
He's not.
Man, man, this is tough for me. I guess I will pick Jeremy Lin.
What?
Jeremy Lin of the 2019 championship team, you know, brought a lot of excitement to this city. I always tell people, you know, hearing that Jeremy was coming to the Raptors was equally as exciting as hearing Kawhi was coming to the Raptors. For me personally, and I know he only had a brief time here, but I know he did a lot of stuff for the community. I know Jeremy has and still does a lot of, you know, a lot of partnerships with CCYA as well. So I'm going to take Jeremy.
Okay. That's pretty good. But I thought you were going to say that for round two because.
No, we got Sun Yu for round two. So round two, we are now picking just any NBA player, past or present. Clement, you once again have the first pick.
Yeah, so when I was looking at Asian NBA players, like Sun Yu was absolutely right there at the top. The dude, you know, got 0 minutes, won a championship ring, he's a shot-blocking point guard who can't shoot. Yeah. And that was what I fancied myself to be, obscure skill set. So right. I love Sun Yu, but I can't take him. Satnam Singh was in consideration because he's the first South Asian guy, and he straight up looks like somebody could crush you with his bare hands. Didn't take him. Hamad Haddadi, just because they called him,
you know, the big Haddadi.
You gotta love him. And Joe Alexander, I was considering because he grew up in Taiwan and he could speak Mandarin.
Wait, no, I did not know that. What are you talking about? The former lottery pick with the Bucks?
Yeah.
Correct. He speaks fluent Mandarin. It's crazy.
Yo.
This is an educational segment right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So you guys,
even I don't know about Asian athletes.
You guys killed me because you picked Jeremy, and that was my boy. So I got to go with the next guy. You got to go with Yao Ming. He's the first all-star. We got to roll with Yao.
That's a great pick. I love playing basketball as an Asian because immediately they were like, yo, someone pick up Yao. Yo, throw it to Yao in the post. I'm like, yo, I play nothing like Yao. Don't disgrace Yao. A legend of the game, truly. For my pick, this is pretty clear. I got to take my guy, Yuta Watanabe. Mm. You know, listen, I'm just trying to wrap up all the storylines. Yuta's still available for ramen. I know you're already in Japan, but you know,
he's not available anymore, man.
He could be available. It's
no,
okay.
Man.
Maybe we'll have like ramen via Zoom.
This is over, man.
No, it's not.
On the next episode of Dragon Ball Z, like this is not happening.
No,
like
this is. I'm making it happen.
This
I'm
is the
Yuta.
Worst anime filler arc. We spent 6 months on air talking about this meetup.
Yeah.
And it never happened.
It could happen.
You need to fly to Japan.
I'm down.
All right. I'm gonna bend the rules a little bit.
Again?
I'm taking Eric Spoelstra, head coach of the Miami Heat.
How's that a player? You said
he's
NBA.
He's in the NBA. I'm bending the rules. I don't want to take Sun Yu. Shouts to Sun.
Oh, there's a lot of other ones.
No, I'm gonna take Eric Spoelstra. I think
what about Kyle Anderson? Kyle Anderson's still in the playoffs right
Kyle
now.
Kyle Anderson has Asian heritage as well. Everybody should Google that. But Eric Spoelstra, you know, championship coach, he's done a lot behind the scenes with, you know, Asian coaches, associations in the U.S. when it comes to just helping out college and high school coaches as well. And he's gone back to the Philippines and he's worked on helping coaches in the Philippines get opportunities overseas in North America. I think, you know, I had a chance to talk to Eric a few years ago about all of this stuff. But like, I think sometimes the things that he does doesn't get publicized in terms of things that he's trying to do in his community and things like that. So those are the things I want to point out because he is like the most high profile Asian coach.
Yeah. No,
like I can't think of anybody.
Not even close, actually.
Yeah. So round three is any athlete in any sport.
Okay.
So Clement, once again, the pick goes to you.
Awesome. So I looked at old school and new school. Naomi Osaka, I love what she's about, but I was like, a little too mainstream. Christian Hosoi, Japanese, you know, Paul Peralta skateboarder from the 80s, but that was like a little too obscure. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, he was somebody I looked up to growing up. Brandon Lee, New School, but I landed on Michael Chang.
Oh, you took my pick again, man. Look, I'm showing Will my phone right now. I have Michael Chang. Anyways, go on.
Dude, This is real. I have a Michael Chang T-shirt. I have his Reebok pump, tennis victory pumps.
Iconic.
If anybody doesn't know who he is, at 17 years old in 1989, this guy won the French Open while cramping against Yvonne Lendl to the point where he couldn't raise his arms above his head to serve. Look it up on YouTube. He was serving underhanded to win the French Open. It's an insane story. It's an insane thing. And that was burned in my mind as a kid. So that's my pick.
Yeah. Clem and I are from the same generation, thereabouts. And then Michael Chang was a huge deal growing up, not just for myself, but by my parents as well. Will, any athlete, third round, what's your pick?
This is so tough because there's literally so many to pick from.
By the way, we will be continuing this draft.
Oh, we will?
At the live event.
Oh,
so
okay.
Don't worry.
Then I don't feel so bad about
picks,
this. Yeah, I'm going to go with Gu Ailing, who I shouted out 2 weeks ago.
Mm.
But listen, I think it's just the discourse around her participation and her choice to represent China at the Olympics rather than going to represent the U.S. at the Olympics. First off, this is a decision that happens in Canada, in U.S., in a lot of countries where immigration happens. People make the opposite decision all the time. For her to make that one decision and the amount of backlash she faced, and then for her to go ahead and do that and still perform and deliver the gold in the way that she did, it's a legend, a budding legend. But yeah, shout out Gu Ailing for sure.
No, I love that. So I have a couple honorable mentions too. You know, I was going to go with Tottenham's Sung Heung-min, who's been playing great in the Premier League. Yuki Tsunoda, the F1 driver. I don't know if anybody's into F1 here, but, it's become a big deal, and he's a Japanese driver, and he's super entertaining, great personality. But I'm going to go old school, too. I go with my guy, former Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher Hideo Nomo.
Oh, yes.
Growing up.
You have a hat. Yeah, you have a Nomo hat.
I have a hat.
Yeah.
I have a Nomo t-shirt. I have a Hideo Nomo figure.
You have an issue. You have a problem with buying vintage.
I also have a problem.
You have an addiction with buying vintage.
I also have a problem in general.
Yeah.
But yes, Hideo Nomo, I remember growing up just this, we've seen since the influx of Japanese, not just pitchers, but positional players. But when Hideo Nomo joined the Dodgers in that rookie season, it was just such a big deal. And he was such a unique pitcher with his windup and all of that. So for me, it just goes back to childhood memories as well, seeing this Japanese pitcher come overseas and just dominate. So I'm going to go with him. All right. So on to round four. So round four, we're starting to loosen up the rules a little bit now.
Now they're loose because you picked Eric Spoelstra as an NBA player. But go ahead anyway.
I'm sure Spoelstra has played pickup. round four, non-athletes. So basically just anybody. You want to talk about celebrities.
an Asian
person that you met in the street last week, Will. Like anybody. Clement, once again, it's your pick.
Yeah, so I was leaning towards celebrities. So in my consideration set, Bolo Yeung was the first guy that I was thinking about
because
he has the pecs of a god. And I was like, there's no Asian man on the planet that has pecs like him. But again, a little too evil. So then I thought about...
A little too evil.
I thought about Mink Bateer or Sun Mingming. So Mink Bateer used to play for the Raptors, but he appeared in the movie Bodyguards and Assassins. Look it up on YouTube. It's amazing to see a flying Mink Bateer at 6'11", 300-plus pounds, flying through the air, or Sun Mingming's cameo in Rush Hour.
Rush Hour 3. That's right.
Yep. So I was thinking about that. I was even thinking about Ming-Na Wen from the OG Joy Luck Club. But, of course, it was pretty obvious who my pick would be. It's got to be my guy, Simu Liu. He's here today. He will be doing his book event tonight at the Hot Docs Theater, and he will be hosting the Junos on Sunday. So that's my guy. I got to roll with Simu.
Yeah.
Fun fact, Simu cooked me in basketball at the Raptors Republic tournament way back when.
Well, you could have filled in literally any person into that sentence, and I would have believed you. So I'm not sure that's a great story.
I'm playing better. Catch me at Ramsden every week, basically.
Yeah, catch him at 3:15 p.m. at Ramsden. Non-athlete, round four, William Liu.
Yeah, no, this is great. Been chatting up Michelle Yeoh all week, so I just feel like this is appropriate for me to pick Michelle. Legendary actor. Honestly, for people who have listened to this program, I'm very obsessed with the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once, and it's the best role that she's been in. But also, as part of the obsession with this movie, I've been watching a lot of YouTube interviews. And, it's when movies come out, you do the press circuit and you go do all these interviews. And just hearing Michelle in particular speak about her experiences as you know, as an actress coming up in the industry and the roles that she was sort of made to play. And obviously a lot of these are action, a lot of these are whatever. But, you know, it makes me so happy that she was eventually able to play a role where she can showcase her entire talent. And as a legend of this industry, like, we're talking about 30, 40 years, even though she does not look it whatsoever. Michelle Yeoh, just an absolute legend.
Yeah, I love that. So let's wrap up this round. So we'll have every one of our picks is going to be in the Shang-Chi movie because Michelle Yeoh was in that movie as well. So I'm taking Ronnie Chan.
Tony Leung.
Okay. Oh, man.
Okay, but go ahead.
Okay,
yeah, Ronnie,
to be continued
your boy,
on Monday
Ronnie.
At the live event.
Yeah, go ahead.
My boy, Ronnie Chan, you know, I had the pleasure of getting to know Ronnie when I lived in New York, and, like, we've had a chance to hang out a few times, and, like, he's even funnier in person than when you see him on, like, his Netflix specials and things like that. And I think he's just done a lot of important work on The Daily Show, and it's really cool to see the way that he's been able to blow up, like, make it into the Marvel Cinematic Universe and, you know, just carving out his own path doing with his stand-up and his reporting and all of this stuff. So I'm going to take Ronnie.
Is he the most famous friend you have?
Yeah, probably next to you.
No,
yeah.
Come on, man. No, come on.
You know next what? To you. So we've got about 2.5 minutes here, Clem. So let's do a quick speed round. So round five is just a free-for-all. So anything goes, any Asian in the world. Clement, you're up.
Oh, my God. I'm so unprepared for this. I didn't know there was a speed round of random persons. Oh, my God. This is so not good. Okay, just because I prepared that 15-person list of basketball players, I got to roll with Ha Sung-jin.
That's obscure, man. Damn.
7'3" center from Korea that played for the Portland Trail Blazers. We did an event with CCYAA and KCAA, Korean Canadian Athletic Association, where we brought him out to visit, I think, 15 people for a post-game meet and greet. And we gave him walnut cakes. So that's my experience with him. But I love tall Asian basketball players, so I'm going with Ha Sung-jin.
I love that. All right, Will, who's your pick?
Yeah, super famous. Li Ning. People know Li Ning as, like, the, you know, the one brand that, you know, if athletes don't get a good Jordan deal or good Nike or Adidas deal, they go to Li Ning or whatever. You don't understand, like, Li Ning is, like, not only is it a huge brand in China, he's also, like, an incredible athlete. 6 Olympic gold medals in 1984. Six, including three gold, right? One of the most decorated gymnasts of all time. And I think he really inspired, like, a lot of people in China to go into it. Because my grandpa, even at the age of, like, 60 and, like, 65, when he was still physically capable, he would always go on the double bars and, like, swing around and all do all the routines and stuff like that. I think he really set off a whole trend in China. So salute to Li Ning, man.
No, I love that. For me, I'm going to take legendary poker player Scotty Nguyen. I can't let this draft go without bringing some gambling in, some poker in. You know, just a legend, man. The name speaks for itself. So shout outs to Scotty. No, this is a great draft, man. Listen, Clement, always appreciate your time and hope to see you soon. Everybody go check out ccya.org for more information. Honestly, if you have kids that are interested in getting into basketball, if you want to get involved with the organization, it's honestly a great community to be a part of. And Clem, we'll have you on again soon.
Thank you.
All right.
No, that was a great draft.
This is a great draft.
Like, the subtext of it is, like, I think, like, there's always jokes about people being like, oh, we can only name, like, 2 or 3 Asians. Like, there was literally a poll last year, I think, in the U.S. that people could only name, like, Jackie Chan and, like, Bruce Lee.
How did Jackie Chan become the number one most famous Asian person?
Yeah, well, we're going to have to dissect that another day because we don't have time. But, like, no, that was fun. And we will continue this draft at the live event as I continue to build my rundown for next Monday.
That's right.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Have a great weekend. Go I guess go Jays go as well. Go Blue Jays. But also, you know, like, you know, go Leafs go. You're going to hear lots of Leafs talk coming up right after us. But that does it for us today. I'm your host, Willow. You've been listening to The Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Make sure you find The Raptor Show wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe. And please rate and review our show. Thanks again to my producer and co-host, Alex Wong, our guest, Clement Chu, and our board producer, Derek Brandale. We will talk to you soon.